Good morning, wonderful listeners. You've tuned into Post Session Podcast, a podcast filled with the stoke of a surf session and the wise guidance of an ocean voyager. Your water-loving hosts are ready to share this infectious state of mind while encouraging and inspiring you for your next adventure. Okay, guys. Welcome to episode 8 of Post Session Podcast. We're calling this one Dumb Mistakes. Well, actually, Laurel's calling it Dumb Mistakes, and I am more diplomatically calling it Getting Back on the Horse. You are so weird. Why don't you run us through the table of contents, Laurel?
Okay. First, we're going to do a little post-session notes where we're going to talk about the waves, the water this week. Next, we'll go to the injustice of the week.
Week.
All right. And then we're going to dive a little deeper. Going to talk about those good old dumb mistakes. And then we're going to drift into some God waters. Yeah.
Well,
take a big drink.
I want you to start us out on the post-session notes because you always do, basically. So okay.
I get to go first. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to tell a little story about starting to surf. And one of my early mentors, Mr. Wilson Freshwater. Yes, his last name is Freshwater, and he's a marine biologist.
He is living his destiny.
Exactly. And he helped me learn how to surf. But one of the days that I was out there, he would give me these pointers and sometimes encouragement to take that wave. And so one day we're both paddling for a wave and he says, go. So I jump up on the wave, I ride. Yeah. And he was so pissed because he said, no, not go.
What? They rhyme.
Exactly. So I said, you can't say no.
No.
You gotta say pancake or something crazy. So I know not to go. I said it rhymes. And he was all pissed for nothing. But
Not yet. What's wrong with that?
Exactly. Look, that would have been better.
Laurel, that's his mistake. That's not yours.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I really just brought it up to have validation of that. I kind of, you know.
Mr. Okay, Freshwater, you're bad.
I have a real mistake, though, that I made in Mexico on this point break wave, this beautiful left point break in La Saladita. And I had paddled for a wave. And on a point break, it was a left-hand point break. So you needed to look right to make sure no one else was coming. Mm-hmm. And I didn't look. I was like so stoked to get this wave. So I paddled and jumped up. I rode the wave on the way back. I got screamed at by this woman from La Jolla, California.
Wait a minute. So you got on the wave. You finished riding the wave.
I rode the wave.
And then
I didn't even know she was back there.
You came back for a spanking?
I got a big spanking. And it made me cry.
What?
Yes, because I was a newbie. You know, this was my first little trip to...
Wait a minute. You're a grown woman. And this other grown woman made you cry?
Mm-hmm.
She must have been out of line. Well, here's my question. Is it obvious that somebody's new out there?
Absolutely.
Okay, so she wasn't just accidentally making a mistake.
Well, maybe she assumed that I did it on purpose, but generally, if you don't look, that's a newbie mistake.
Right.
So I didn't look. It was definitely a faux pas. But, you know, the next day, you know what I saw?
What?
Her yelling at her kids the same way she yelled at me.
Imagine how often they cry.
Imagine how often they surf now. Never.
Probably. And so you said, wait, she's from
La Jolla.
Real uppity.
Mm-hmm.
She forgot to take her prescription meds or whatever the heck.
She's undiagnosed. Schizo, I think.
That's messed up. She had an opportunity to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And instead she took
She could have laid it out to me in a way that I would have, you know, probably grown in the situation. Instead, I just got bitter about La Jolla.
Yeah, which, you know, and instead she's an anecdote on our big mistakes episode.
How about you, Ash? Right. Tell me a little post-session note you got for us.
Well, it's getting cold here, so I haven't been in the water. However, I did get to go to DEMA, which is diving something manufacturing.
Association.
Yeah, there it is. I don't even know what it stands for. I mean, that's pathetic, but whatever. So anyway, my husband went down with a couple of friends of ours with Maverick America.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to go help, you know, set up the booth, all this stuff. And then I flew in.
The star.
Right. I flew in to decorate the booth.
Ooh, can
with my presence. Anyway, it was pretty cool, though, because it's mostly scuba divers. You know, freediving is a very, very small percentage of the show. But the freedivers that were there are all my buds.
That's nice.
You know, so I got to
meet my old friends.
It was like a family reunion. Meet some new people that I had heard of but didn't know yet.
Oh, cool. Your competition?
What's that?
Your competition? Any of your competitors?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, there were some competitive divers there, but
none that were close to.
No one I would consider competition, Laurel.
Bam!
Big mistake talking like that. I was going to tell you something about Dima, though.
You were talking about you're a guy that you'd known a long time, and didn't y'all do something after the booth?
Oh, Laurel.
What?
Yeah, okay, so in my post-session notes, I do have a big mistake.
Oh, bring it.
So going into this, I would brag. I mean, now that I think about it, it's probably bragging to people that I have not been inebriated since 2012. And I have to tell you that after Dima, the streak was broken.
Oh.
And let me tell you what broke the streak. This slippery, slimy little devil of a man that I hope is listening. Gary Malander. Anyway, it's one of my sponsors. He has been sponsoring wetsuits for a while now and has the best suits out there. But anyway, he's older.
Yeah.
And his kids are older. His kids are probably just a little bit younger than me. Mm-hmm. And so when you see him coming, and because you've known him so long, he's a great guy, you don't expect him to be the thorn in your side. You know what I mean?
You're calling him out as the scapegoat here.
When he says, oh, let's go get a drink, you're thinking, okay, yeah, I trust you. Can't trust him. he started us on tequila, and that's the only thing that I could taste the whole next day on my flight home.
Oh,
and
you had to fly the next day.
Yeah. I was a little embarrassed about it, but.
Did you pull down the throw-up bag on the plane?
I did.
Oh, no.
I did, Lil. On my small little regional jet from Charlotte to Wilmington, I was sitting by this real tall guy.
You're almost home.
Almost home. Real turbulent. And I looked out, and then the saliva, you know, started going.
Started swallowing.
Swallowing. Come on, girl. You got this. Unbuckled. Pulled out the barf bag. Looked at Tolly Pants next to me. Realized there's no way I'm going to get out of here quickly. Swallowed hard. Closed my eyes.
Oh, closing your eyes might not be a good thing.
Yeah, but I just had to pretend I wasn't there, you know, and it finally subsided, and I played it off. I stuck some trash from my purse into the barf bag. And the guy said, oh. Yeah, it's really, really rough here today, isn't it? And what he said was, yeah, we're flying into some bad weather. And I realize now he was trying to make light of the fact that I almost puked all over both of us. But instead I go, yeah, my parents said it's really cold.
What?
My parents said it's cold. Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's time to move into the injustice of the week.
Me too. And you know what? This is a really good one.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm totally ready because this is one that we both agree on unequivocally.
Unisex bathrooms. What the heck?
I hate them.
I'm so over them.
I'm so over them.
I'm so over a wet seat.
You know, Laurel, I don't even, the pee-pee on the seat from the guys, that's one thing. But what I hate is the lack of privacy. You've got, because there's no stalls in a unisex bathroom.
No, thank God for that.
Right? So there's just a door that leads to the outside of the restaurant or wherever you are, mm-hmm. with this flimsy little lock that you don't know if it's really locked or not. They don't put the nice latches on there.
Nope.
They do the little button you gotta press.
The button where when you're sitting on the toilet and you look at the button, you think, that's not pressed.
Right. So you shuffle over to the handle.
Pants around your ankles.
That's right. Hoping that some dude, because he's allowed in there, doesn't open the door and see that junk.
Oh.
You can't focus. Mm-mm. You can't focus and do your business thinking about, you know, the guy outside going, wow, she's been in there a long time. I just want to go
listening outside to plop.
With his glass. He's got his glass against the door. What's going on in there?
The bathroom spy.
I know. Just give me a regular ladies room. I can walk in.
Yep.
they know what menstruation's like. You know, they don't care about the wrapper.
Crinkle, crinkle, and, crack, clack.
You don't have to hide that junk from women.
I just don't like, I mean, I don't squat, but if I'm putting paper around the seat, it puddles up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not like I can sit on the paper. I have to re-paper up and paper up till it doesn't go through anymore. But and then when you sit down, it still goes through.
I like what you said about not squatting because my mother raised me as a squatter. But I gotta tell you, yours did. Oh, our moms are gonna be so disappointed in us because I'm over it. I don't like squatting. Mm-mm.
I'm too old to squat.
You're okay. You're not too old to squat. I'm not too old to squat, but I'm.
It is good practice for surfing.
Well, it's not comfortable.
I like to relax, and I like to. I check bathrooms out. You know, like if I judge a restaurant on the quality, yes, of the food, but also of the bathroom. I want to know that there's going to be a pleasant experience when I go potty.
You know, speaking of unisex bathrooms and this whole thing, you just got me thinking because out in San Diego, Ren and I went to the Stone Brewery.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. So cool. But I went to the bathroom and when I came out, I'm expecting a mirror, you know, and I'm washing my hands. Yeah. Instead, I'm looking at some guy.
What? At the urinal?
He's not at the urinal. He's at the sink, but you have a shared washing space.
Oh, no.
I did not like that either because I wanted to look in my teeth.
Yeah.
I wanted to fix my hair. I wanted to put my hand down my pants.
Yeah.
Push the panties out of my butt crack one last time before I went and sat down. It was uncomfortable.
That's bad news right there.
Bad news.
I haven't had that experience, but I did have a bad experience. I went to this little museum downtown. I don't know if they've closed now, but I went to their bathroom and there was a bidet.
Ooh.
And I was stoked. I was like, oh, I'm going to try this out. It had a heated seat.
Wow.
I sat my little fanny down on a warm seat.
Was it unisex?
I don't remember.
Oh.
But what I do remember and will never forget. Bless you.
Thank you.
Is the bidet was on high. I got an enema is what happened.
Oh, no.
I jumped off that seat. Water splashed everywhere. I mean, I cleaned up best I could, but that was disturbing.
Yeah.
That's on another note. That's another day.
That's another day. That's another bidet, right? Oh, man. That is a kind of a rude awakening if you're not expecting
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
It's like going down the water slide.
It's like a douche.
You go down the water slide and you're looking around thinking, oh, my gosh.
What happened?
I can't believe something didn't just fall out of me when I stood up. That was, my legs were not crossed tight enough when I hit the water. I don't like water parks for that reason.
Wow, I don't think I'm
You're probably more graceful coming down the slide than me.
I don't even remember coming down the slide. It's been so long. Wow. So should we move on? Dive a little deeper?
Are you sure we've covered everything we need to cover?
I think we could probably talk about this the entire episode, but maybe we should dive a little deeper.
We should dive deeper. Okay. So dumb mistakes. Laurel, we're going to talk about some of our mistakes.
Okay.
I want to talk about specific mistakes we've made, but also what they did for us, how we got back on the horse. And I have a feeling you're going to have some good ones. That's my little dig.
Mm-hmm.
So I also think you should start because I'm sure you have a funny one and it'll get the
juices flowing.
Yeah. Get everything all greased up here.
All right. I'm going to talk about a writing mistake that I did.
Ooh.
Yeah. So when you are a budding writer, you really need to go to a writer's conference. I was encouraged to do that. It's a really cool place where you get to meet writers, like professional published writers, agents, and publishers. So you get to pitch your book. You get together a little one sheet that's kind of a little bit about you, but mainly about the book. And you need a hook in there to get their attention. And I was really stoked. So you get to pick out who you want to meet. So, you know, if they did children's books, that wasn't me. So I picked these other people and a couple of writers so that I could get, you know, I'm going to get encouraged by somebody who's successful. So the like the head of the conference and a thriller book writer. I gave him my one sheet sitting across from him. You get
so you went to the top of the ladder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you get 3 minutes or 5 minutes. Maybe it's 5 minutes. And so he reads my one sheet, asked me a couple of questions. He said, "This is the best one sheet I've ever seen."
Wow.
Yeah. And so I was super stoked. I was kind of on a high. And so we were talking back and forth and, you know, our time was almost over. And he said, you know, he said something like, I don't even remember what, but then I made this offhand comment like, well, all I need now is just somebody to co-write with me and, you know, an agent. And he laughed and he said, well, you know, we might could do something like that. And
okay, I still think maybe he didn't say that.
He said something to the effect of that when I retold what he had said to my other writer buddies that had come with, they were like, "Really? Whoa."
They didn't say, "Are you sure?"
There was one, Meg. I give Meg credit for this because she called it out and I should have listened. Uh-huh. But everybody else was kind of like, "What? He said what?" I'm like, "Yeah, I was super stoked." The rest of the conference was like, "Dude, I've got a co-writer who's going to whoop this thing into shape."
Yeah, he's the head of the conference too. And I would think that it'd be a faux pas to ask one of these people.
It was. You're not supposed to ask that kind of thing. You're told in advance not to ask that kind of thing. And I didn't ask.
You were flirting.
I was saying, It was a joke. But anyway, it did come back to bite me. There was that moment of revelation when I sent an email.
Oh, no. You followed up.
I wanted to follow up and thank him so much for being willing to take a little young writer under his wing. Ashley's about to blow coffee out her nose.
Oh my gosh.
And then when I just can't tell you the dump I was in when the email came back that said, I don't know where you got the idea that I was gonna co-write with you.
Oh no. Laurel. This is funny.
Your disillusionment.
It's funny in the same way that watching The Office is funny. You know that this guy, I mean, you're cringing the whole time watching him self-destruct, but it's hilarious. And this is the same. I'm cringing listening to this story.
It's a bad story.
It's
but
hilarious.
I've learned from my mistakes.
To follow directions when they say don't approach about oh,
and not man. To get your hopes up, you know, like. That was a real bummer.
Okay, that wasn't my, that wouldn't have been my takeaway. My takeaway would have been like, okay, listen, follow directions and check. But you know what? This embarrassment makes me think of those times when, you know, you see somebody waving across the way and you go, oh, they must know me, right? Yeah. So you start waving. It's got to be about you. And you look behind you and the person they're really waving at is standing there. And they both kind of look at you awkwardly.
Like, who are you?
But we've all done it.
Yeah.
But the level of embarrassment that ensues is...
Because it's out in public. And you don't even know how many people have watched this go down.
But why is this equally embarrassing every time knowing that everybody has done this? Why is it?
Because nobody thinks about everybody doing it. You're just in the moment with the spotlight on you, feeling like a fool.
Yeah, that's it. The spotlight. The spotlight comes on. That's exactly what happens. Oh, man. I mean, I like when it happens, I can recover. I don't go into fetal position and just, I'm not
wimp away.
But
go home and don't come out again that day.
It takes a little effort to shake it.
Well, tell us. I want to hear one of your mistakes.
I just like told you what. Legit... I waved at somebody and...
come on.
Okay. Well,
legit...
all right. The story that I'm going to tell you is more of a regret that I have. It's not like a big...
I don't have any of those.
It's not like one of those...
She's laughing so hard because she knows there's so many skeletons in the closet.
Yeah, on a daily basis, I feel like I am. Anyway, okay. It's a regret. And okay, so let me just start it. I grew up in Richlands, which is a small town. Go ahead.
A pimple on the back of Wilmington.
Yeah, it's so gross. That's such a gross.
You teed me up.
Visual.
Okay.
Anyway, you come from a zit of a town too, don't you?
No, Elizabeth City's like a, it's like a beauty mark.
I'll give you that. Don't you have water? Yeah. You have water at least. Well, yeah. So Richlands. Anyway, it's the kind of place, as you know, coming from
small town.
Yeah. Elizabeth City, that you pretty much know everybody. Absolutely. They know you. You grow up with the same people, blah, blah, blah. There's not a lot of turnover. Let's put it that way. Anyway, around seventh grade, there's this kid I knew my whole life. And he was a smaller kid. He was a little bit awkward. For instance, he had a little bit of a stutter.
Okay.
And then I remember in French class one time, the French teacher asked us to write a menu.
For a restaurant.
In French. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Pick a restaurant and just do it in French. Anyway, he said, well, I've never been to a restaurant. And the teacher in all of her class and in all of her, infinite wisdom, she said, you've never been to a restaurant. What about McDonald's?
Oh, no.
He had never been. He had nothing to draw upon. And I thought that awkward. But anyway, there was another kid. He was a turnover kid. He was either military or he had some kind of unstable family. Who knows? You could tell he moved around a lot. And
maybe he'd been kicked out of a lot of schools.
I don't know. The thing is, he was
a little hellion.
He was funny, though. But he was funny in a way that was constantly needing attention.
Yeah.
Well, obviously putting other people down.
What'd he do?
So this guy, the other one, he goes up to the front of the class to read his paper, whatever we were doing. And funny guy says, check it out. And on closer inspection, you realize that the other dude is wearing Chick jeans.
Ooh.
Like the brand, CHIC. Remember back
for
in the day?
Only women.
They were his sister's hand-me-downs or whatever they were. I don't know. But when I think about it now, I recoil at my reaction, which was to giggle. You know, I giggled because it was hilarious. It was clever, right?
Yeah.
But
check it out.
Check it out. That's exactly how he said it. But I hated my reaction because what I want my reaction to be is strong enough to stand up, put my own self out there as a target and say, what is your problem? You know, and just be the champion of justice.
But in a small town, and maybe this, you know, maybe it was our era, but growing up, we used to make fun. That was how we got along, was your mama is so fat.
This was different. This was to say, you do that in a group of peers.
Yeah.
These two are obviously not friends or peers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, I just hope that looking back on that mistake, that I could teach my kids to be more compassionate, to stand up for what's right, even when they are a-hole seventh graders. And
hopefully it didn't ruin that kid's life.
Oh.
Hopefully he's super rich tech dude right now.
You know, I feel like I want to. He probably doesn't even remember it, but no. I feel like I'd like to look it up on Facebook and just say, you know, it stuck with me.
Did you remember his name?
Oh, I've got his name.
Okay, I think you can look him up this day and age.
Well, tell us something. Do you have something?
Yeah, I have a similar experience.
Aw.
But unfortunately, unlike yours, that happened when you were in middle school, this happened when I was an adult. I was in New York City with a friend in my 20s.
Oh, air quote adult. Okay. It's almost as bad as a middle schooler.
And we were on the bus going somewhere fun. We did a lot of fun things that trip. And when it made a stop, this woman got on the bus who she was small, but she looked like she had leprosy. She was so... looked like on the verge of death. She looked like a addict. She looked like she could have AIDS. She looked like she was close to death. She looked like she could have been homeless, a drug abuser. And the entire bus kind of gasps.
Gasps audibly. You can hear
and you see everybody kind of pull back.
Girl, if you knock these mics over.
I was pretending to pull back. And so, you know, nobody wanted her to sit down near them. Everybody was afraid. And after I got off of that bus, I regretted so much how I had responded. And it dawned on me or occurred to me that this woman may not have been touched in a kind way in a long, long time.
Right. Or maybe even responded to in a positive way. Could you imagine everybody that looks at you recoils?
No.
She may even be numb to it at that point.
Maybe. But I wish that I could have been a different person and responded to her kindly and welcomingly and lovingly. And
but you would now. I mean,
yeah,
that's the thing about these mistakes is that
you hope you might recoil and then you get it together.
You get it together because you have different resources now.
Yeah. You did have a different framework.
You do. You have a different framework, a different lens that you're looking through. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I appreciate about the mistakes, and I'm talking about all of them, even the dumb ones when you're young and like the alcohol induced mm-hmm. ones, all that mm-hmm. crap.
And not so young ones.
Right. The not so young ones. But all those mistakes, they turn into stones or bricks that you build yourself with. You know, the structure that you're going to become contains these stones. So some of them are really smooth and beautiful, and but some of them are rough and some of them are dirty.
Yeah.
But they stick it up there anyway.
And sometimes you have to cross the line to know where you want to be in relation to the line of a standard or a drink or, or, you know, or people. So
sometimes it does take that experience. You're right.
You know, I was never the one that could just take other people's word for it. That's just not a good thing. don't try that.
I've got this.
I think it's a good time to drift into some God waters. What do you think?
I will say that our mistakes do make us uniquely resilient, too.
You like that word, resilient.
I do.
I think it is a good quality.
I'm just really surprised at how resilient humans are. But yeah, God waters. Especially always children. Time.
Speaking of resilient.
Maybe we should do an episode about resilience sometime.
That's a good idea. Write that down so we don't forget.
Click, clack, clickety, clack, clack, click, clack.
So today we're going to go to the Devo. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10, where this expert of the law came up to test Jesus. Talk about dumb mistakes. Let's test God.
He didn't know till later.
Yeah, that's right. He had to learn.
Yeah.
So he came up to Jesus with this question: what must I do, teacher, to have eternal life? And Jesus, man, he is always the one to answer a question with a question. What does the law say? And the Jewish law guy said, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus is like, that's right. That's all you got to do.
But who's my neighbor?
That's right.
What a nerd.
He wanted to justify himself for not loving other people, right? Mm-hmm. Or certain people. So this is when Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan.
You going to read the story?
Yeah. Don't you think I should?
Totally. It's a good one.
Jesus replied with an illustration. A Jew going on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes and money and beat him up and left him lying half dead beside the road. By chance, a Jewish priest came along, and when he saw the other man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. Then a Jewish temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but then went on, because they didn't want to dirty themselves.
Right, that's part of the law.
Be unclean.
Yeah.
But a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw him, he felt deep pity. Kneeling beside him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with medicine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his donkey and walked along beside him till they came to an inn where he nursed him through the night. The next day, he handed the innkeeper $20 bills, or whatever it was at the time, and told him to take care of the man. If his bill runs higher than that, he said, I'll pay the difference the next time I am here. And Jesus said, now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the bandit's victim?
You know what's immediately striking about that story is that the Good Samaritan, well, what we call the Good Samaritan now, the Samaritan, he didn't just you know, take the guy, pick him up, throw him on a donkey, slap the donkey's butt and say, well, hopefully he'll make it. He didn't even take him to the hospital and dump him off.
That's right.
He stayed. He cared for him. He paid for his board, put him in somebody else's care, and then said, I will continue to pay.
As long as he needs it.
As long as he needs it. Right. So he provided for his future also.
I like that too. And I also, what stood out to me was today in our world, that's a little different from Jesus's time, we see people often who have been, are penniless, don't have a home, have been brutalized by life. And I think we look at them and we don't feel pity for them because, oh, he did it to himself. It's easy to feel bad for somebody that these bandits beat up. But then somebody who's abusing drugs or, you know, all these other things that life has thrown at them, we don't have that pity. And I think that's not what Jesus is saying, because I think life can be or, you know, whatever they grew up in or however they came to get on drugs, I mean, or be addicted to them. I mean, I certainly tried them.
That's their bandit.
That's their bandit. And we are called to love that neighbor and that they are our neighbors, too. And I mean, it convicted me to be a reminder, to have pity on those and mercy and have action towards the person who is, has been brutalized by life.
You have an interesting perspective too, because you and Dawn do some good stuff on Sundays.
We do a little good thing.
Yeah. Tell, just, I mean, we didn't plan on talking about this, but I think you should mention it.
Well, after church, we go over to where I work actually has a detox center at the Harbor. It's called the Harbor. And it's a place where you can come off drugs. So you've got 5 nights and 6 days and they can get medication to help you come off, whether it's opiates or heroin or whatever. And so we've just been going, reading a little devotion and praying for people and chatting with them. And I'll just say we've gotten so much more out of this than I think we bring to the table to them. It's it's crazy. But I mean, it's been a, it's been really cool.
You're feeding each other.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's part of it, is being in relationship. We're created to be in relationship with God. I'm reading a lot about this lately. But we're also created to be in relationship with each other. And a relationship isn't a holier talking at me. A relationship is the conversation that we have and the need that we both have for each other. Because if I'm not needed, then that's not a relationship.
That's right.
So that's super interesting. And I just want to say your cardigan today, even though you missed Kindness Day, which was supposed to be last week in honor of Mr. Rogers.
I did bring it today or wear it today.
It makes
we're
me,
at my house.
It, yeah, we're at her house always. But it makes me think of Mr. Rogers when you're reading
won't
the story about
you
the
be
neighbor.
My neighbor.
What?
Won't you be?
An awesome dude.
Please won't you be?
Please won't you be
my neighbor.
Hi, neighbor.
Hi, neighbor.
I'm listening to The Holy Post. It's my favorite podcast. And they are talking about Mr. Rogers. They were talking about Mr. Rogers because there was the documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor?
A new movie.
New movie coming out. Ah, this woman wrote a book. I tried to look it up just before this podcast.
She didn't do her homework.
I didn't. I'm going to put it in the resources page on our website, though. But she just wrote a book about Mr. Rogers, like diving deeper into his life and the history of him. And the cool thing that she was saying is she was making a connection between his show and how liturgical his show really is, because he's so methodical. He repeats the same actions over and over. So it kind of becomes like this children's.
They know what to expect.
Church service.
It's a safe place.
But he says neighbor right there. I mean, it's all about love God, love your neighbor. And neighbor is right there in his title.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he did. So how about some homework?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you came up with the homework this week, but I think it's really good.
Okay. Well, I think we all could think of some place or some person from our past or right now that we could apologize to. And I think it's good for you to apologize. I mean, it's humbling. It's an opportunity to let someone know that you care. And if you can't think of anyone to apologize to, there's always God, because he sees everything.
Yeah. Asking for forgiveness. That's, yeah. And also a little reminder, we're not going to apologize in a half-hearted secular way. We're going to apologize to people that either we've harmed or even that we had a part in holding a grudge against that have harmed us. Mm. These people don't have to be deserving of our apology.
Mm.
You apologize anyway.
Yeah. And not always with people, but always with God. He says he always will forgive us when we come.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good assurance, I think.
Yeah.
So we just want to thank you, listeners, for hanging out with us today. And we hope you have a marvelous week. And we look forward to podcasting with you guys again. Please comment on our website, postsessionpodcast.com. We have a Patreon page.
Also, let's mention Audible.
Audible.
Yeah, if you sign up for a free trial, then we get a little kickback from Audible. So if you haven't checked that out yet, do that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.